Today's guest urges all believers to take advantage of a window of opportunity. We'll talk about that this hour.
Russia's Active Measures campaign achieved its primary goal of inciting division and discord among Americans. For more than a year, U.S. politics have been consumed by bitter recriminations, charges and countercharges about the attacks.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, you'll hear the second in a two-week series of conversations with Michelle Bachmann about the pushback on the Trump administration and the importance of your vote in next November's elections. Jan began her discussion with Michelle last week. Jan and Michelle conclude their conversation today. If you did not hear part one of this two-part series, which aired last week, you can visit our website at olivetreeviews.org and download the August 11th edition of this program. To get today's discussion started, here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. Glad you could join me this week at part two of a two-part series with Michelle Bachmann in studio with me. Michelle resides here in the Twin Cities, out of which I headquarter. I've known her for probably 30 years and followed her, I think, somewhat illustrious career in politics for sure, but before that she was doing interesting things as well. We'll say more about what she's doing currently as we move into the program here, part two of the two-part series. Last week we talked about all sorts of things. I can't possibly review everything, but we certainly covered what's been called this Trump derangement syndrome. We've talked about how the media and others on the left are, well, as they say in Canada, and there's a wonderful article, it's kind of a, well, it's kind of a strange story from the CBC. Counselors claim clients face Trump anxiety because they fear the world will end. My goodness, there is a fear of the world ending, said a particular counselor. Told the CBC, it's very disorienting and constantly unsettling, and it's a collective anxiety among patients who feel on edge about how potentially dire President Trump's decision could be for the entire world. We talked about some of that last week. We talked about the irrationality of it all, and we're going to kind of continue with some, hopefully, a little more positive information this hour. We're going to talk a little bit about foreign policy, and Michelle Bachmann was present for the opening of the Israeli embassy back on May 14th as it moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Truly an historic day, May 14th, 2018. In that the birth of the nation was May 14th. 1948 began in 1947, culminated May 14th, 1948. Michelle, welcome back to the studio for part two of our two-part series.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed last week so much, and I know this hour is going to be filled with great information,
well,
so thank you.
We're going to move quickly because some interesting things, and Michelle, I don't want to dwell on this collusion delusion, but we need to address it because it's been 2 years, it's been nonstop. As you and I have talked off air and privately, we're tuning out because the media is driving us nuts because they want to talk about a non-issue, and this collusion delusion supposedly with Russia is just that, a delusion. But let me ask you first, I want to get your take on sort of the decline of what you would call the Department of Injustice. You have even said to me privately, and I think it's okay for me to say publicly, that you would really like to see Andy McCarthy in there, perhaps as Attorney General. Tell me, how did our Department of Justice go so haywire?
Well, it went haywire under Barack Obama, under the leadership of Eric Holder, mm-hmm. who now is saying that he wants to run for president in 2020, the least qualified man to run. And provably, he lied before the United States Congress, the last person who should be the next president of the United States, Eric Holder, the former attorney general of the United States, and Loretta Lynch. We know that American laws were broken by these two. While this was the Department of Injustice, in my words, we saw the corruption of the FBI. We saw the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton doing the colluding with creating a mm-hmm. phony story by paying off a guy to write a phony memo mm-hmm. to suggest that somehow Donald Trump was working with the Russians on the election. It has been more than 2 years of investigation. And after 2 years of investigation, there is zero zilch mm-hmm. squat that has been put forward. Not only was it just this Mueller investigation, there were multiple investigations. investigations by Republicans in committee after committee after committee, with Democrats equally participating, and there has been nothing. Nothing has been researched more. In fact, what we found out is the entire basis of the special prosecutor claim of creating Robert Mueller's investigation was based upon a lie. And in fact, just the opposite was true. What came out, and this really should be the biggest issue of this election, it's this. What we found out is that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton colluded together with a former spy from Russia to spy on Donald Trump's campaign, including embedding a human being in his campaign to spy on him and use the instruments of the United States government, the CIA, the FBI, to spy on a candidate for president, including revealing the identities of secretly taped conversations, and those identities were released to the public as they shouldn't have been, and the contents of those conversations. For instance, former Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who did absolutely nothing wrong. He was set up. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is that the government was used against political opponents. I'll tell you, the people who should be under investigation, really, who should be in jail right now, and I don't say this to be partisan, is our former president, our former candidate for the Democrat Party. They were misusing government to advance their political wins. So rather than Donald Trump being under the microscope, it should be Hillary Clinton, it should be Barack Obama. And I don't understand the Department of Justice. It is injustice that the former Department of Justice completely abused and illegally tailed a presidential candidate. And today, they aren't even under investigation, to my knowledge. And that should happen. So yeah, this whole collusion thing is all about what the Obama team did to try to frame up Donald Trump and what they called in their own text messages an insurance policy.
That's right.
They thought Hillary was going to win slam dunk. But just in case, we're going to listen in on Donald Trump and we're going to try and frame him. That hasn't worked. And so at this point, we should all be outraged that the Department of Justice was so grossly violated and misused to advance a political purpose.
Well, you said to me you wouldn't mind seeing Andy McCarthy in the position of Attorney General, perhaps even replacing Jeff Sessions, perhaps move Jeff Sessions to another type of a position.
Andy McCarthy is a writer for National Review magazine. He's a former prosecutor. He was the lead prosecutor. The 1993 World Trade Tower bombing from Islamic terrorists. He is on every single level brilliant. He understands the terrorism issue. He could handle this job slam dunk. Andy McCarthy, he would be a brilliant attorney general. If I was president, that's who I would appoint. Jeff Sessions is a marvelous man. I have great respect for him. I admire him. However, he has done a fantastic job on the issue of immigration. And I know it would be a humbling thing to do, but I would love to see Jeff Sessions be willing to take a humbling position of becoming a deputy attorney general in charge of dealing with the issue of immigration. He's been fantastic getting these thugs out of the United States, MS-13, these violent gangs.
Right.
Jeff Sessions has been stellar on the issue of immigration. I would love to see him in charge of immigration as deputy attorney general and then place Andy McCarthy in charge. He could do this job and we would move forward in cleaning up a lot of the corruption that I believe a lot of these people, because they're civil servants and they can't be fired, they might still be there. But I think that we could root a lot of these people out and do a reduction in force and get them out of there and get people in who really do believe in equal justice under the law. If you look at the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., chiseled in marble, equal justice under law. That's a great hallmark that sets the United States apart from any other nation. And that's where the standard we need to repair under. That's a biblical standard. And we need to be proud to maintain that standard.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I am Jan Markell. I have back in studio for week number two, Michelle Bachmann. She ran for president of the United States in 2012. She served Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, and she's doing some very interesting work presently. We'll talk about that as we move into this program. And Michelle, what I want to do for just a minute or two is I want to talk about the Never Trump movement. And again, you and I aren't here this hour nor last weekend to glorify Donald Trump. He's a man of failures, just like all of us are people, flawed people. But some of the things that he has done in less than 2 years, I'd say quite stunning. I want to talk for a minute about the Iranian deal that seems to be neutralized at this point. He certainly is the most pro-Israel president in Israel's history. He's got some outstanding foreign policy efforts. He's got men like John Bolton on his foreign policy team. Possibility of denuking of North Korea. But I want to play a clip and then I want to discuss it with you. It's a clip of a never-Trumper because the National Review team pretty much are a bunch of never-Trump people. This is Rich Lowry, and at the very close of this short clip, he's going to say throughout this clip, as a never-Trumper, you know what? I think I've been wrong. And this may be, the country may be as good as it's been, certainly in the last 10 years.
With a president that preaches moral equivalency for neo-Nazis, how do you sort through a Neil Gorsuch nomination with behavior that even Neil Gorsuch was offended by when he questioned the independent judiciary? How do you do it? How does National Review do it? How do conservatives and Republicans do it moving forward?
Well, I've been wrong about two things with this president. One, I thought we'd see really unorthodox policy and an unorthodox approach to the agenda, whereas it's been an utterly conventional Republican agenda with some exceptions. And on some things like energy, deregulation, judges, we really have seen like an A-plus agenda. So that's been a very pleasant surprise.
Let's just be clear here. Again, ideologically, for conservatives, this is what conservatives have wanted when it came to tax policy, regulatory policy, and judges. And those are basically the top three issues anyway.
Correct. Right. But I also think or thought he would do more to moderate his behavior or at least not make his character flaws so evident. Whereas he uses Twitter basically to advertise his resentments and vindictiveness.
And craziness.
And going back to what you were, I think you read something from Andrew Sullivan at the top of the show. We have this bizarre disconnect where we have this poisonous froth of our politics. On one hand, because Trump just stirs the pot all the time. One, because he can't help himself. Two, because he actually enjoys it to a certain extent. And then you have this hysterical reaction to him when actually the underlying condition, material condition of the country is quite good, arguably as good as it's been for 10 years.
Right.
No major foreign wars. The economy is growing, and it's been growing for a long time, but now it's growing in a way. We had these stories from the Wall Street
Crime at record lows.
Yep.
And even though he wants to build a wall, the immigration flow has actually been a net negative over the past 5 years. Wages better than they've been in 25 years.
Correct.
Consumer confidence better than they've been in 25 years. And yet, right track, wrong track is 80-20 going the wrong way.
So if he just sat in his pajamas and had his executive time and watched as much cable TV as he wanted to and throws his remote at it every time he sees something he doesn't like, and then otherwise just didn't tweet and showed up and read his lines, he'd probably have about a 47% approval rating.
I agree.
Now, he wouldn't be at 50. I'm not sure whether anyone will ever really be at 50 in a sustained way for a very long time to come.
I agree. He gets in his way. And I've got to say, I think your two surprises, or the two main surprises Meek and I have had knowing this guy for a decade. One, he's a lifelong Democrat. And he used to always joke, "Stop calling me a Democrat." I said, "You're a Democrat." And so I was sure conservatives were going to be disappointed. I was shocked by how ideologically conservative he was. And secondly, I did think, and Mika did think, and he did say in real time during the campaign that he was going to moderate after winning the nomination. Right. He has not moderated a bit.
I would add a third surprise. If you told me at the beginning of 2018 he'd have a fairly warm working relationship with Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, and Steve Bannon would be on the outside as a smoldering ruin, I never would have believed that.
Okay, that was Rich Lowry, National Review. These guys are never Trumpers. He says in the little clip we've heard, basically, I've been wrong.
Well, I'm happy to hear that level of humility. I think there is still remains
a
deep well of derision toward Donald Trump, because some of these guys actually see themselves as intellectually and morally superior on almost every issue. And I think that there is a big grain of humble pie that they need to be eating because, again, as I said in our last show, Donald Trump is the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. He is doing more to build up the U.S. military than even Ronald Reagan did during the 1980s. He is doing more to build up the U.S. economy than even Ronald Reagan did in the 1980s. He's more pro-life, dealing more with religious persecution to deal with the persecuted church. He has done more than anyone could have possibly thought, and he has done it in 2 years time. He is resetting the stage of the judiciary. It is phenomenal what he has done, and we should be grateful for the advances rather than still having this kind of titter-titter looking at Donald Trump down our nose at him when this guy has done more single-handedly than any other president has done in modern times to advance the lot of the common man.
That's
I'm not
right.
talking about the 1%.
That's right.
Over 90 plus percent of Americans have higher paychecks today, specifically because of Donald Trump. And I've had business people tell me the reason why their businesses are growing and they can hire more people is because Donald Trump got rid of these noxious regulations mm-hmm. that hurt and impaired job growth. I've seen videos, you have too, Jan, of steelworkers crying because they
That's
finally
right.
have a job back after being laid off for 4 years, or of an African-American gentleman who is crying, saying to the African-American community, stop trashing Trump. There are more blacks that are at work today than ever before. We've got jobs. So stop trashing Trump. Now I can feed my family. Now I've got dignity. This is a huge deal. And again, we're not here to be political, but to say that all of these morally superior people just before the election, when it was either Hillary or Donald Trump, they were still trashing Donald Trump. And to this day, one of the political pundits is George F. Will.
Yes.
George F. Will was this big conservative Republican, et cetera, et cetera. He was considered like the standard bearer and the platinum person to be a Republican. He's now said he's no longer a Republican. In fact, I believe he said that he voted for Barack Obama. That he has completely thrown Donald Trump under the bus. He thinks Donald Trump is disgusting. And I think, what about this agenda don't you like? He's put forward a Ronald Reagan pro-growth agenda with the economy, a pro-growth military strategy. Because remember, what Trump is doing is very parallel to what Reagan did. Reagan ended the Cold War between the U.S. and Russia without firing a shot, by building the U.S. economy and building the U.S. military. And Russia knew they could never compete. As many people learned recently after Trump met with Putin, Russia's economy is less than the economy of the state of Texas, or less than the economy of Pakistan. So Russia is not this big, well, financially backed nation. In fact, they're kind of a one-horse economy. Their economy is oil and gas, and that's it. They don't have much else because they're a failed Soviet communist-type atheistic economy. They just don't succeed. So what Donald Trump has done is phenomenal. And yet, a George F. Will continues to throw Donald Trump under the bus and says, I'm no longer a Republican. That's why these guys, some of these pundits, are so out to lunch, because they're so impressed with their own intellect. And that's where I think the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Pride's a bad thing. And for a lot of these guys, they can't eat their words, because Donald Trump was considered embarrassing. And in many ways, things he said were embarrassing. But yet, look at what he's done. Look at what he's done for the common man. And he talked about the forgotten man, the people who weren't being taken care of. And I will tell you, the forgotten man is no longer forgotten. The forgotten man is remembered. And so again, why is Donald Trump president? For one reason only. Because of the difference makers, the people who believe Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And those 20 million evangelical Christians went out to the polls, did their best. Maybe they didn't vote for Donald Trump, but they voted for a biblical platform. 60% voted for Trump based upon a biblical platform. Well, in the last show, last week, we talked about the new platform that the Democrat Party is embracing, as unbiblical as you have ever seen before. It is jaw-droppingly unbiblical. So the choice is clearer than ever before. So that's why for all of these never Trumpers out there, man, oh man, if you would have gotten your way, think of where we'd be today.
Folks, encourage you to hear part one of our two-part series. You can listen to it online, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to radio. Or you can perhaps get a couple of CDs of these two programs and hand them out to folks who just don't have access to the truth the way you do. This program doesn't air in absolutely every city on the planet, that's for sure. So if you got some CDs, you could hand them out, or again, direct folks to olivetreeviews.org. Go to radio and you'll find about a year, a little bit more than a year, archived programming of Understanding the Times Radio, now airing on well over 800 stations across America. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to continue and conclude with Michelle Bachmann. We've got a lot to talk about yet. I want to talk a little bit more about foreign policy. We'll do that in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We know you're enjoying this hour's conversation with Michelle Bachman. This two-part series with Michelle Bachman is available for purchase on compact disc by calling Olive Tree Ministries at 763-559-4444. These recordings can be used as tools to inform others about the themes discussed in this incredible two-week series. We encourage you to order several copies to pass along to your pastor, family, and friends. These sessions with Michelle Bachman are also available online. All our radio programs are free to download at olivetreeviews.org. We also want to thank the many listeners who continue to give to this ministry during these summer months. Your faithfulness to this ministry keeps us on the air across the country on well over 800 radio stations. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give securely online at olivetreeviews.org.
Understanding the Times 2018 is almost sold out now. Why don't you consider getting a group together to live stream the event at your computer or perhaps put it on a big screen? There is no cost or registration involved for streaming. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Eric Barger. We will help you understand that nothing is falling apart. In fact, things are all falling together. Events that could be interpreted as chaotic and dark are really a herald of His return. We'll also help you contend for the faith. Fellowship with like-minded is essential for spiritual health and to stay optimistic and looking up. Our event and live streaming is Saturday, September 29th, but you will be able to access the archived programming following that event. I promise our speakers and their topics will keep you focused on the bigger picture. God has everything under control. The King is coming right on time. He's never early, He's never late, and He wants none to be left behind.
Donald Trump gave two incredible birthday gifts to Israel on her 70th birthday. And the first one was to designate Jerusalem as Israel's capital and announce that the United States Embassy opened on the very day, the exact day of Israel's 70th birthday. And at the same time, in the same week, he announced the number one concern that Israel had, Iran. He announced that he was going to rip up the Iran agreement. He was going to end it. Those are the two greatest gifts, the two greatest things that he could do for Israel. He did that on the birthday.
On Understanding the Times Radio today, our second session with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachman. If you didn't hear the first session in this two-part series, we encourage you to go to our website, olivetreeviews.org, and listen to the program for August 11. Let's get back to Michelle's conversation with Jan Markell.
And you've just heard that announcement about Understanding the Times 2018 coming up Saturday, September 29th. And you may have a ticket or multiple tickets that you cannot use. Would you kindly turn those in to the Brush Fire Agency so that we can use them? You need to call Brush Fire again, 888-338-5338, 888-338-5338. If you'll just turn in those tickets to Brush Fire or go to brushfire.com, turn in those tickets, someone else can use them. Otherwise, they may just sit empty, and we just don't want that to happen. So if you'd kindly follow through on that, we would greatly appreciate it. Most tickets are sold now, I believe. They're would remain some tickets in the chapel for just $10, and you'll still have the fellowship of like-minded people if you'd like to get some chapel tickets. So why don't you look into that? So otherwise, we're, as the promo said, we're live streaming it at no cost. You'll go to olivetreeviews.org on September 29th, and we'll hopefully be airing that right on the homepage. I want to move into part two of our programming with Michelle Bachman, and it just is such a delight to a couple times a year have Michelle in. She lives in the Twin Cities area, not all that far from the studios here of Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. Known Michelle for probably 30 years, but known her the most in the last, 15 years or so, and followed her political career. She ran for president in 2012. Michelle, I want to head quickly here with time that we have remaining and spend a little bit of it, please, on the Middle East, because as I speak, we've got Russia, Turkey, and Iran all meddling, particularly in Syria. Now, interestingly enough, Russia, Turkey, Turkey, and Iran are the three primary players of the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38-39. I'm not here to necessarily talk about that because we do that on this program a lot. But the fact that Iran is stirring things up in the Middle East and stirring things up even within Israel itself, and we can refer to the Iran nuclear deal here. As a matter of fact, why don't we refer to it now? Donald Trump pretty much neutralized that deal sometime here in the last year, which I thought was totally remarkable.
It was totally remarkable. And Donald Trump gave two incredible birthday gifts to Israel on her 70th birthday. And the first one was to designate Jerusalem as Israel's capital and announce that the United States Embassy opened on the very day, the exact day of Israel's 70th birthday. And at the same time, in the same week, he announced the number one concern that Israel had, Iran. He announced that he was going to rip up the Iran agreement. He was going to end it. Those are the two greatest gifts, the two greatest things that he could do for Israel. He did that on the birthday. That's why when I was so privileged to be one of the 800 people in the world who were invited to attend the opening of the U.S. Embassy, Israel gave to each of us as guests a gift. And that gift was a coin that Israel had struck. And it was a profile of Donald Trump and the profile of King Cyrus. King Cyrus, who said to the Jews, you may leave Babylon and go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And so Israel likened Donald Trump to Cyrus of old because they saw Trump as a great liberator. This was profound, this action that Donald Trump made, because in 70 years of Israel's lifespan, Israel designated Jerusalem as its capital, but no other nation on earth did. Democrat President Harry Truman in 1948 said, we will recognize the Jewish state, but he did not recognize Jerusalem as the capital. No other president has. It wasn't until Donald Trump that he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's rightful capital and opened our embassy there. And because of that, I believe he's put the United States in a pathway to blessing because of Genesis 12:3, which says those nations that bless Israel will be blessed, those that curse Israel will be cursed. He did that, and then Guatemala followed behind and opened their embassy. I was there for the opening of the Guatemala embassy also in Israel, and I'd met with Guatemalan President Jimmy Morales. Also, the Paraguay embassy opened in Israel as well. And so there's a complete, it was a shot heard around the world. No one could believe it. The world could not believe it that an American president would actually make that move regarding Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is everything. It's the centerpiece. It's the epicenter. And once our president removed the issue of Jerusalem from the table, it was game over for this phony, phony propaganda war that says the Jewish people, Israel, has no legitimate right to the capital of Jerusalem. And that's it. That's what this is all about. It was a propaganda move of designated the Jewish people, Jewish way of life, Jerusalem and Israel as illegitimate. Donald Trump brilliantly and deftly removed that issue from the table, and now Jerusalem is the capital. It is settled. It is done. What else is there to fight about? So he not only did that, he said nuts to the Iran agreement. He is turning the screws on Iran right now, so the sanctions are reimposed on Iran. I'm telling you, Jan, when I was in Congress on the Intelligence Committee, we knew behind closed doors, the world knows now, Iran was literally gasping its last gap of air when Barack Obama came in and gave mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to the Ayatollah Khomeini and the Iranian regime. They were about to fall off. He revived them. He gave them over $150 billion, and he strengthened them and their nuclear program. Just as the Ayatollah was leading daily public chants of death to Israel, death to America, Barack Obama made them one of the wealthiest countries. Right. Now, the good news is, in just recent articles, Iran is back on its back again, gasping for air thanks to the policies of Donald Trump. And today, we have a dollar in the United States. That's our currency. In Iran, they have what's called the rial. The rial has lost so much value. Their economy has tanked so badly that it takes 100,000 rials to equal one U.S. dollar. They are in terrible shape financially. And also, the Ayatollah made a terrible deal against his own people, and he gave away a lot of the water in northern Iran to Iraq. He sold it to Iraq because he needed the money. Well, the people of Iran need water. They need water. So Iran is on its back, and I would encourage your listeners, be in prayer. Be in prayer that at this point in history, we will see the Ayatollah be removed and have regime change in Iran. Remember, before 1976, when former President Carter sat on his hands and he let the Shah of Iran fall, the Shah loved America.
Right.
He loved the West. Mm-hmm. And instead, we saw the modern rise of terrorism. Ayatollah left Paris, France, and went to Tehran, Iran. We could see now, not only in our lifetime, we could see now during this presidency, the Ayatollah fall, and we could see Iran, I believe this, Jan, we could see Iran become a pro-Western country.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, more people have been coming to Christ in Iran than any other nation of the world
through
various other measures. So pray, pray, pray. I'm asking this audience, let's join together in prayer that this regime falls, and that Iran can once again, because remember, King Cyrus was the king of Iran, Persia, ancient Persia. Mm-hmm. We could see again a new move toward the West out of Iran. And Iran is remains the chief state sponsor of terrorism in the world. They cause all the trouble Syria, in Gaza. They're there causing trouble for Israel like no other nation. In Indonesia, they've been working behind the scenes with Russia, as you said, and also with North Korea. Well, we could go into North Korea. Yeah. Donald Trump is there. He had his famous summit in Singapore. Today, literally, we have satellite photographs. North Korea is dismantling their nuclear testing site. As we're speaking, they are dismantling it. The second they stop that and they are no longer dismantling, Donald Trump said, hey, as long as you're doing the right thing, we'll stop military exercises with South Korea. By the way, that costs us billions of dollars to hold these exercises. He said, we'll stop. You dismantle your nuclear program, we won't do these exercises. But the second you try to advance your nuclear program, North Korea, we are going to start our military exercises with South Korea. So this is costing us nothing. And we're seeing huge results. So on every level across the world, not only is Donald Trump doing what Ronald Reagan did, rebuild America, rebuild our military, rebuild our economy, he's also rebuilding our foreign policy faster than I would have ever guessed. Mm. And I think that's because he did what we asked him to do. I was there. I'm on his faith advisory group. In fact, I'm going to the White House for dinner with the president later in August and with the First Lady. We let the president know that the number one thing that we wanted him to do was to open up the embassy in Jerusalem.
Mm.
And many other people have said that. We don't take credit for that at all. This was Donald Trump who did this, nobody else. He did this. But I believe that by that action, that is putting the United States in a pathway of blessing, just like Harry Truman did in 1948. That Democrat president put us in a pathway of blessing. It wasn't because Republican Democrat, it's because they were biblical. They were biblical, and God is true to his promises.
Mm. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. That's the familiar voice of Michelle Bachman in studio with me. I'm Jan Markell, Understanding the Times Radio. And Michelle comes in once or twice a year and gives us a couple week update on issues in the world and in Washington and in Jerusalem and other places in between. Michelle, President Trump is kind of a part of a 1-2 punch team as it concerns just the very issues you've been talking about. The other player in the 1-2 punch team is Nikki Haley.
Yes.
And she's U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. And Nikki Haley, many say she's a future presidential candidate, and that certainly is possible. I mean, I think she possibly could be vice presidential candidate down the road here, not very far future. And she has recently pulled out of the UN Human Rights Council. And I want to play just a very short clip. It's less than 2 minutes, as she explains the insanity. And again, you're at the UN. You're at the UN many days a week, and we need to talk about that. She explains the insanity of how the United Nations works.
For too long, the Human Rights Council has been a protector of human rights abusers and a cesspool of political bias. Human rights abusers continue to serve on and be elected to the council, as we said we would do a year ago. If we did not see any progress, the United States is officially withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council. This step is not a retreat from human rights commitments. We take this step because our commitment does not allow us to remain a part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. Almost every country we met with agrees with us, in principle and behind closed doors, that the Human Rights Council needs major, dramatic, systemic changes. Yet no other country has had the courage to join our fight. When a so-called Human Rights Council cannot bring itself to address the massive abuses in Venezuela and Iran, and it welcomes the Democratic Republic of Congo as a new member, the Council ceases to be worthy of its name. This disproportionate focus and unending hostility towards Israel is clear proof that the Council is motivated by political bias, not by human rights. There are many unfree countries that simply do not want the Council to be effective. Russia, China, Cuba, and Egypt all attempted to undermine our reform efforts this past year. We will continue to lead on human rights outside the misnamed Human Rights Council. Should it become reformed, we would be happy to rejoin it. We do support the rights of all people to have freedoms bestowed on them by their Creator. That is why we are withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Council, an organization that is not worthy of its name. Thank you.
Michelle, and that's something that happened real recently here, and I know that was kind of stunning to you as it was to me. Long overdue, by the way. You operate out of the United Nations several days a week because you're a part of Pastor Jim Garlow's effort at the United Nations. Talk to my audience for a few minutes about what you're doing there, how they can pray for you. You actually kind of introduced what you're doing at the United Nations at my conference 2017,
That's
in the
right.
fall of 2017, and they need to be praying for you.
That's right. I thank you for giving me that opportunity to do it. It shows the power of what one local congregation mm-hmm. can do. And I want to encourage all local pastors in their pulpits, as well as congregants in various congregations across the United States. You can do more than you think. And one local pastor, Jim and Rosemary Garlow in San Diego, actually La Mesa, California, they're not a huge church. They're 2,300 people. That is a big church. But even so, they decided to do something about the UN. And so they wanted to begin bringing worship and the word inside the UN to the over 10,000 employees that are there. And they also want to reach out to the ambassadors, and they wanted to bring a pro-Israel perspective. So we've been able to bring three worship and the word services to the UN. We've also held our first Wallenberg Society, which the effort is to show how Israel is a blessing to the nations. And we've also held our Hammarskjöld Society, which is to speak to ambassadors about bringing a biblical perspective to the UN. We're starting, we're a year in, and it's a very good work. I'm excited about it. And if I could just go back for a second on the clip that you played of Ambassador
yes.
Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
She's done a wonderful job for the United States, and I think we're all so thrilled with what she's doing. I think she would also be the first one to insist that everyone knows that she is there as a mouthpiece for the President of the United States, and that she's not making up these policies on her own. These are President Trump's policies that she is announcing. And we can be so incredibly grateful that she is there working hand in glove with President Trump, with Secretary of State Pompeo, with John Bolton, who's the head of the National Security Council, with Ambassador David Friedman from Israel. This is a first-class team, the best team we have ever had on foreign policy. Now, contrast that with one of the last acts of President Obama when he was in office. He failed to defend Israel's right to Jerusalem at the UN. Remember,
that's
he was
right.
He,
in December of 2016, I think.
That's right. It was a shocking action at the UN. It was the first time that the United States failed to stand with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump, by contrast, made the United States the first nation to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And he did that specifically on Israel's 70th birthday. He could have chose any day, but he wanted to make a point that Jerusalem belongs to Israel. And then when at the UN, when UNESCO said Israel had no right to her heritage, Trump pulled the United States out of UNESCO. He pulled U.S. funding out of UNESCO, which is the UN. He pulled the U.S. out of the UN Human Rights Council. He pulled $65 million out of the phony refugee program for the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
And he
right.
pulled almost $300 million out of the UN itself. Now, nobody's done that. Nobody Nobody has ever done that before. And let me tell you, the UN has stood up and taken notice. And as a matter of fact, this last week as we are recording this show, the UN came out and said, hey, we're in trouble financially. We don't have enough money at the UN. We need more money. But what Donald Trump has said is, look, we are not going along with business as usual at the UN. We're not going to be your pipeline of money anymore. We're not putting up with your anti-Israel bias. Ambassador Haley has been willing to be that spokesperson for Donald Trump. And so it is a new day. That's why I'm telling you, we are seeing a complete reordering of the international chessboard because of one man, Donald Trump. And so we are seeing the threats from North Korea, the threats from Russia, the threats from China. All of this is changing. Just what Donald Trump is doing on trade is getting China's attention.
Right.
China used to eat our lunch with all of our businesses leaving the United States and moving to China. And Donald Trump said enough to that. And he is, I think, using this whole change in trade policy to enhance American production, American farmers, American manufacturers. And he is building up NATO. I mean, on every it's like everything he is touching, he is advancing not only just good things for the United States, but good things for the world. It is good for the world that Israel is strong,
right,
and that Israel is bold, and Israel really is living in its golden time. Israel, the modern Jewish state in the last 70 years, has never had it as good as they have right now. Yes, there's continued attacks, but let me tell you, if Donald Trump is able to bring about the fall of Iran and a sane government come up to take the place of these Islamic terrorists, if he's able to defeat more and more Islamic terrorism across the world will be a better place.
Amen. You can learn more about what Michelle is doing at SkylineUN.org, SkylineUN.org, as she's ministering there on a weekly basis.
Please pray for us. This is not an easy job.
I can believe that, Michelle. We're going to come back and wrap up our two-part series in just a minute or two, and again, urge you to get perhaps a couple of CDs. The programming is always available on my website, olivetreeviews.org, anytime you'd like to listen. If you'd like to hand out some CDs, sometimes that's more convenient for people. And we're coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
There are few people today who can interpret our news headlines according to the scriptures. We're so thankful for Michelle Bachman, who's come to our studios to help us interpret our times. We know you're enjoying today's program. As you pray for us, please keep our financial needs in mind. During these summer months, if you can help us financially, you'll be greatly appreciated. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or you can reach us by phone at 763-559-4444. You can order our current two-week series of conversations with Michelle Bachman when you dial 763-559-4444. 4444. You can learn more about this listener-supported broadcast ministry when you visit us online at olivetreeviews.org. In just a moment, Jan returns with Michelle Bachman.
I am so pleased that this ministry is carrying the new book titled Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? The co-authors are Dr. Ed Heinsohn and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. I did not think I would ever have to ask such a question, but today many churches marginalize this message. Many scoff and mock about the glorious good news that the King is coming again, and perhaps today. Check it out in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday and order it by phone, 763-559-4444. 763-559-4444 Central Time. It will be in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Look for Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We want you to rejoice in the hope of His return, and this new publication will help you do just that. Things are all falling into place. We want you to look up and know that His return is right at the door.
Understanding the Times Radio continues here with the wrap-up of her two-part series of discussions with Michelle Bachman, Jan Markell.
And sadly, I'm concluding my two-part series in this segment with Michelle Bachmann. If you are familiar with Michelle, and you've certainly followed her political career, she joined Congress in 2006, ran for president in 2012, and is serving at the United Nations, at least as we speak. And we talked about that in both programs. And folks, you can get a CD of any program, become a CD subscriber. And I encourage you, for folks who don't have access to the online programming, perhaps get a couple of CDs of this two-part series and give them out to folks who don't have such access to some truthful information. Look into my both print and e-newsletter, won't you? That's where I talk about the issues of the day, particularly from a biblical perspective and from the perspective of end-time Bible prophecy. And remember, the program always posted to my website Saturday morning. Or sign up for the OnePlace mobile app, oneplace.com mobile app. Program will be downloaded to your devices on Saturday morning. I want to wrap up our conversation here with Michelle Bachmann. And during the break, I asked Michelle, I said, what are you hearing? She travels the world literally and talks to lots of people and sort of hears the thoughts they have, the concerns they have. And Michelle feels that we are in a window of opportunity right now, perhaps for the next 5 to 6 years. And that who are we? We're battling, certainly we're battling the enemy as he tries to throw roadblocks at us. And for that matter, as he tries to thwart God's end time plan. Sorry, he's going to be very unsuccessful, but he's trying. And who is the greatest participant, I think, these days? We've already talked about it in the last 2 weeks. That's the globalist agenda, the one-worlders. And the Bible in Revelation 13 points very clearly to a coming one-world government. Michelle, let's talk for the next 10, 11 minutes or so about this window of opportunity. And I found it interesting that you said to me that pastors and churches, like when you were growing up, and for myself as well, preach the rapture. There's so much more in place today than when we were growing up. And they were preaching the rapture back then, but they don't want to do it now because it's divisive and it's controversial.
And yet, one thing we need to look at it is this idea of reality versus unreality. If you look at the news and you're listening to all of this hysteria, whether it's on the internet or newspapers, TV, radio, whatever it is, that is unreality. And the president is right when he talks about fake news.
Yes.
It is all fake. The collusion thing, all these things. This is all, every bit of it is fake. It's unreality. And yet there are those that want you to believe that that unreality is reality. Reality are all of these statistics that are out there, the metrics that everybody's lives really are so much better in an economic way, foreign policy way, our policies regarding Israel. That's reality. So reality is off the charts better, and the unreality doesn't exist. And so one thing I want to encourage people, and this is what I hear when I travel around the world, people's lives really are better. I mean, on a global perspective, people's lives are so much better because of Donald Trump, because of what he's doing in the Middle East, because of what he's doing with North Korea, with Iran, with NATO, for instance, what he's doing with Russia, what he's doing with China. The ship is turning. And so we have a window of opportunity, I believe. I'm praying and begging your listeners, go out and vote in these midterm elections. Because the reality is moving in the right trajectory. So if we vote in these midterm elections and keep going, we could have another 6 years, 6 years of improvement, of taking biblically based positions on all of these issues and advancing. I mean, imagine if schools, for instance, could come back to local control and we get the federal government out of our schools and we're no longer teaching socialism. That's just one thing. That could happen under Donald Trump. So if we have 6 years, more years, that's a window of opportunity. Now, we saw from a political perspective, we saw events that are prophesied in the end times, like you had mentioned, the confluence of Iran, Russia, Turkey, which never happened before in history, and we saw it happen. I think it was advanced and sped up under the previous administration. I think we've got this window of opportunity where I think things could go pretty well for the next 6 years. After that, who knows? We know that the Bible clock is going to move forward. God has a sovereign hand. He has his clock. It's going to happen. But this is our opportunity to build up. This is our opportunity to advance the gospel. That's what we're trying to do at the UN, which according to Joel chapter 3, Matthew 25, 31-33, all nations will be brought to the Valley of Decision, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. There the nations will be judged by God sitting on his throne, and it will be based upon how they treated the least of these, how they treated Zion. And so that's what we're trying to do at the UN, bring the gospel, but also let the nations know that Israel is a blessing, and to encourage them to choose to bless rather than curse Israel. That's what we're trying to do. We've got this little window of opportunity when that's our piece of the puzzle. That's what we're trying to do. But each one of your listeners in their own world, I think there's a window of opportunity for advancing the gospel in their world through the pastors who are listening, through their pulpit. Do what God has called you to do, because when it's tougher times, it's not so easy, and then we might see events happen. So when God gives us a reprieve and a window of opportunity, we would be remiss not to use that window of opportunity. So let's use that window of opportunity to advance his kingdom in every possible way. And that's a part of our duty before him as stewards of the talents he's given to us, not to bury them until he comes, but to use them until he comes to advance his kingdom. Mm. We're in a good time right now, a really good, exciting time. And that's what I hear from people. I spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu when I was in Israel. I was with 8 people. He gave us 45 minutes. Ambassador Friedman, I had lunch with him in Israel. I'm telling you, they are so thrilled, so grateful. And they know that evangelical Christians in this country, because of our prayers, because of our advocacy, because we voted, Israel's world changed. The world changed. And so we are the difference makers. Evangelical believers, biblical believers are the difference makers in this nation. And again, Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So in every area of our lives, let's do what we can to pray and act and believe that our nation, that God is the Lord over our nation, because then we will be blessed in return. And then we bless Israel. And I'm telling you, they know that. And I'm the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. We had our second prayer breakfast in June. The president of Israel came to the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast filled with evangelical Christians. Members of the Knesset came out and spoke at the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. And we were there for one reason, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Since then, we've had a Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast in London. And now I'm going to speak in Brazil to advance Israel and Jerusalem in Brazil. We're going to be going to Ghana. We're going to be going to South Korea. We're going all over the world to advance in a faith-based diplomacy, because again, the time is drawing short. The window of opportunity is closing. So we're praying for Joel chapter 3. We're praying for the nations, for Matthew 25, 31 through 33. We take this seriously. And God has put this on our hearts to bring this message forward to the nations, so that when that day comes, and it will, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord, we want to make sure that the nations have been given this message. And that's what we're doing at SkylineUN.org, SkylineUN.com. And it's all because Jim and Rosemary Garlow decided to do something.
I encourage you to visit SkylineUN.org, folks. At the very least, you can sign up there to pray for this outreach at the United Nations. Imagine yourself serving in the United Nations. What an undertaking, what a daunting undertaking that would be, to find yourself in the midst of people representing, I don't know, a couple hundred nations on the planet, and most of those nations very pagan representatives of very pagan goals and purposes in the United Nations. Is it possible for a little remnant of Christians to turn things around? Michelle, just a quick question here. Israelis are saying that Benjamin Netanyahu could be prime minister for another 10 years. What is your perspective on that? Is that possible?
Well, Benjamin Netanyahu has been prime minister for 12 years now. That he's the longest serving prime minister. It is highly unusual that he's in his position for this period of time. He's undergone major attacks and scandals and all the rest that it's really been an eerie parallel to Donald Trump, what he's had to go through in Israel. However, when I talk to Israelis on the ground, they say, but who else is there? I mean, people get tired of any leader. You only have so much time.
Right.
You only have so much shelf life. And then people get tired of you and they want to bounce you. Look at Churchill. Churchill won World War II in England. He saved England and he lost his next elections. After he had saved the British people, they rewarded him by kicking him out of office. So don't discount human nature. People just get tired of leaders. So what I would encourage your audience to do, which they do, you all do so well, is to, again, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for the prime minister, for Prime Minister Netanyahu. I think he's done a fantastic job. And pray for who his successor would be. Not him, then who? So pray for his successor. I think he could be there. I don't know how in the world he could be there another 10 years. I mean, he's a human being. It's,
right.
It's an extremely impossible job. Pray for him. The Bible calls us to pray for all those who are in authority, not just American presidents. Pray for all those who are in authority. So pray for judges, pray for congresses and parliaments, and pray for those. When we had our Jerusalem prayer breakfast this year at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, we had 70 nations represented. Isn't that interesting? On the 70th
yes.
anniversary of Israel's birth, we had 70 nations, and we had, I think it was well over 50 representatives from various parliaments and congresses. So people are getting it, and it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 2:2 that the nations will stream to Jerusalem. And while I was there, Israel won the Univision competition for the best singer in the world. And as you know, the announcer refused to even say the word Jerusalem, Israel. Every other country had their capital's name mentioned except Israel. Well, the great irony is that whoever wins the competition, and Israel did, the very next year, the competition has to be held in the capital of that city. So literally in fulfillment of Isaiah 2:2, all the nations of the world will be in Jerusalem in proximity of time of Israel's 71st birthday. So what a great sense of humor the Lord
Amen.
Has.
Michelle Bachman, thank you so much for coming in these 2 weeks. Appreciate it so much. Folks, we've given you a lot to think about and a lot to pray about. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed and need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.